till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I am surrounded by the arms of the Father. I am surrounded by songs of deliverance. We've been liberated from our bondage. We're the sons and the daughters.
Good morning, everybody. If you get bored with my message, look outside. It's beautiful. Anyway, today I have a very interesting message, and I love the way the Lord gave it to me. I had nothing till Wednesday, and then it was a simple reading by Oswald Chambers that inspired my scripture. And once I get into it, you'll see why Oswald Chambers' devotional was so important to what I'm going to talk about. And again, I have to use a lot of scripture to back up or to prove my point, I should say. Not my point, but what the Bible talks about. But before I get into this message, let's rise and ask the Lord for his blessings, because we want his blessings. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your love. And your care, how much you care for us, that we know the truth, and how the truth is able to set us free. How to devote ourselves to the Word, through the Spirit, so we have clarity of what Scripture means. Help us to patiently await your coming. Help us to look forward to it, to hasten it. Lord, you will bless it. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. I ask that all demonic forces leave, and they are not welcome here. Holy Spirit, you are. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. So this is from Oswald Chambers. It's called Arguments or Disobedience. If what you believe in produces just argument, then you might have only intellect. And intellect means you have your own common sense and have figured out what Scripture means without the Holy Spirit being there to interpret them for you. So going into this here, the simplicity that is in Christ. Simplicity is the secret to seeing things clearly. And that's a fact. That's how things work, especially Christianity. A saint does not think clearly until a long time passes, but a saint ought to see clearly without any difficulty. There's a difference. Sometimes it works. It takes a while for a saint to see what he needs to see because there's so much debris. that he has to get out of the way before he thinks and sees clearly. It's childlike faith that makes us see clearly. You cannot think through spiritual confusion to make things clear. To make things clear is a simple task, and that's you must obey. In intellectual matters, you cannot think things out. No, you can think things out. That's how they work when it comes to intellectual things. But in spiritual matters, you will only think yourself into further wandering if you try to figure them out. You will think yourself into further wandering thoughts and more confusion. If there is something in your life upon which God has put his pressure, then obey him in that matter. Bring all your arguments and every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I am a strong believer. That's why people have so many mental issues as they get older. It's because they have never done that. They have let their thoughts wander. They have never controlled their thoughts. And your thoughts and your mind is the devil's playground. If you have idle thoughts, idle hands, you are playing into the hands of the devil, and later on he is going to wreak havoc with you, with the way you operate and with the way you think. Your mind is not going to be at peace. Remember this. Keep your mind in subjection. Make sure you could take captive of every thought, every evil thought. Your reasoning capacity will come later, but reasoning is not how we see. We see like children. When we try to be wise, we see nothing. Again, when we go by the Holy Spirit, we see like children and through obedience, but when we try to be wise in our own ways, we see nothing but confusion. Even the very smallest thing that we allow in our lives that is not under the control of the Holy Spirit is completely sufficient to account for spiritual confusion. And spending all of our time thinking about it will never make it clear. Spiritual confusion can only be conquered through obedience. I'll repeat that one. Spiritual confusion can only be conquered through obedience. As soon as we obey, we have discernment that comes. It's a byproduct of believing and of acting upon it. As soon as we obey, we have discernment. This is humiliating because when we are confused, we know that the reason lies in the state of our mind. But when our natural power of sight is devoted and submitted in obedience to the Holy Spirit, it becomes the very power by which we perceive God's will. Our entire life is kept in simplicity. And remember, the gospel is simplicity with Christ. Do not confuse. In this world, you shall have tribulation with the great tribulation. I think that's why so many people are anti-rapture, because they think the great tribulation and tribulation are the same thing. The Bible says that all those who live godly lives in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So in this world, you shall have tribulation with the great tribulation or with the time of Jacob's trouble. That's two different time periods. One is now. If you live a godly life in Christ Jesus, you shall suffer persecution. But the time of Jacob's trouble, which is the great tribulation talked about in Revelation, is God's wrath upon the unbeliever and the ungodly. All those who live godly lives in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's a given. Now, my message is now what I'm going to get at is what I am very, very clear at. Scripture is very clear at. And I'm going to use scripture, obviously, to promote and to bring it out. I'm not even going to put my own thing into it. I'll let you decide what you should be doing once I read the scripture. You decide what your task is from now on. Matthew 24, 36 to 44. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as in the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and they were drinking, they were marrying, given in marriage, that's life as usual, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. There shall be two in a field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the other one shall be taken, and the other left. And now this is the scripture I want to get into. Watch, therefore, for you do not know the hour the Lord, your Lord comes. When the end of the tribulation, we will know. At the end of 7 years, people will know the return of God. So there is a timeline. But this is a time here when Jesus is going to come back. Nobody knows. He says, watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord comes. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have allowed his house to be broken up. Therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. Matthew 24, 48 to 51. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming. How often do we hear that now? And shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. And smiting his fellow servants need not necessarily be physically smiting. It's coming against those who believe in the rapture. It's mocking them. You're smiting your fellow. And this is clearly talking about a surprise coming. The end of the tribulation is not a surprise coming. The surprise coming is right now. He could appear. It's imminent. Any second he could appear. And this is what the Lord's going to do with that servant. And the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Mark 13, 32 to 35, all the Gospels cover this, except for the Gospel of John. So three of the Gospels. But of that day and of that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. But take you heed, watch again. There's that watch again. What's he telling us? Watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left the house and gave authority to his servants, like to us, and to every man his work, and commended the porter to watch. Again, watch you therefore, for you know not when the master of the house comes, at evening, at midnight, or at morning, or cock crowing, or at morning. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping, and what I say unto you and unto all, watch. There's that word again. Luke 21, 34, 36. This scripture to me is the most proof of a rapture. If you cannot see the rapture in this scripture, you are led astray by your intellect and have not depended on the Holy Spirit or simple interpretation of scripture as it is. Listen to this carefully. And take heed to yourself, lest at any times your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, that means overeating, and drunkenness, and the cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unaware. What day? That's again that watch day. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the earth. There it is again. Watch you therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted what? Worthy to escape. Escape what? Read before what it's talking about. He's talking about a great tribulation. To escape all these things which shall come to pass, and to stand where? Before the Son of Man. So that means you are in a different place now. Transformed, just like in the days of Noah. Noah didn't go through the tribulation or the wrath that God poured out upon the ungodly. He put them in a safe place. Just like Lot. When God poured out his wrath upon Sodom and Gomorrah, he had a safe place. He told the angels, or the angels told Lot, I can do nothing until you be out of this city. And Lot was not the godliest, did not have the godliest lifestyle, as we can read. But he was a godly man nonetheless. And God could not pour out his wrath upon that city until he was out of that city. This is the same thing. God cannot pour out his wrath upon this planet till his church is here, not here. The restrainer, the one that preserves and keeps the evil back from even advancing farther. Now in Revelation 2:24, we'll read now what this is to the churches. Same thing. But unto you I say, and unto the rest of Thyatira, that as many as have not this doctrine, which have not known the depths of Satan, as I speak, I will put upon you no other burden but that you which already have. Hold fast till I come. There is the commandment. Hold fast till I come. Church of Sardis, Revelation 3:3. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard and held fast and repent and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, there's that watch again, I will come unto you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. Same warning, Revelation 3:10-11. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, guess what? I will also keep you from the hour of temptation that shall come upon the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Quickly means suddenly and by surprise. Hold fast to which thou hast, and no man takes that no man take thy crown. Revelation 4:1-2. And after this I looked, and behold, the door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as if it were a trumpet talking to me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat upon the throne. Now look up, this scripture has some things that you need to pay attention to. It's, look, come up hither. I must show you what must be hereafter. Number one, he was talking to the church up to that point, up to end of chapter 3. After chapter 3, chapter 4 starts by saying, now come up hither. After chapter 4, you can look all you want. You will never, ever find a mention of the church again, not once. The church is never mentioned again. Saints are mentioned because millions, if not billions, come to Christ in the tribulation. Because there was a great sea that was filled, or a great, before the throne room that was filled with a number he could not number. And they are those that came out of that great tribulation. Revelations 1:5-6. And from Jesus, who is the faithful witness, the begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us what? Kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Revelations 5, this is when we are heaven. This is when we are actually now kings and priests. And they sung a new song saying, you are worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For you were slain and has redeemed us to God by your blood out of every kindred, tongue, people and nation. There is no color issue here. We are all one in Christ. No color barrier. And there you go. There's this the kings and priests again. And thou hast made unto us, unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. In Revelation 1, verse 20, and the mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. The seven candlesticks which you saw are the seven churches. This is on earth. Now I have to use another scripture to explain my next verse. 2 Thessalonians 2:6-7. 2:6-7. And now you know what withholds that what might be revealed in this time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. It's already at work right now as we speak. Only he who now lets will let until he be taken out of the way. That is the restraining power of the Holy Spirit through the church. And I'll show you here. Revelation 4:5. And out of the throne proceeds lightnings and thunders and voices. And there were seven lamps. Remember, when the seven candlesticks were there on earth, we will be changed. When we come up to heaven, we're part of the Holy Spirit. We're going to be the seven lamps. Part of the seven lamps. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. The church has now become one of the three. It's part of God through the Holy Spirit. We are now the lamps. And I will let you draw your own conclusion in light of Thessalonians 2, since we are together with the Holy Spirit, the restraining power on earth. And finally, my last scripture out of John 3, 1 John 3, verse 2 and 3. Beloved, now are we the sons and daughters of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And this is what I want to get at. If you have this hope in you, you purify yourself, his appearing, and all those that love his appearing. will be crowned. So this concludes my message, and the gist of my message is, watch, for you do not know the day or the hour he will come. Jesus himself saying, thank you, and may the Lord bless you.
Do you hear me? Way out there? Nobody outside the doors listening in? Oh, this week, the Lord has given me something to encourage those who are discouraged. Do you feel the Holy Spirit is working enough amongst us? Do you feel yes? I don't think so. We're not seeing people getting healed. We're not seeing people raised from the dead. We're not seeing any of those stuff, this stuff that is written in Scripture. I wonder why. I'll tell you why. God has timelines. When he does something, even though that happens in different parts of the world, different parts of the country, in small congregation, but you have to get on a jet, go there, spend a lot of money, and be part of them. You would see it. I've done it. I know what it feels like. Become part of the outpouring that God wants to pour out. So how many want to be in an outpouring of the Holy Spirit? All of us. Do you know what it's like? Tell you what. It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun. And I got good news for you. Because the prophets have been preaching that we're going to have an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And it's going to last till Jesus kicks us out of here. Hallelujah. And then the tribulation starts. I was studying during the week something called the revival of Azusa Street. Anybody heard of that? Not too many of you. One or two. Study it. It's on my page on Facebook. You can go from there. Well, I've studied it for years. I've looked through it, studied what happened there. It happened in 1906 when a black preacher by the name of Seymour. He was into the power of the Holy Ghost. He was in a church in Texas. But you know, in these days, as a black man, he had to sit out in the hall. And only the white men were allowed into church. So he sat out in the hall and he listened to the preacher preach on the power of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit got Mr. Seymour to go to Los Angeles. And there, through some strange incidents, he started a church on Azusa Street. Of course, I've been in California. Of course, I've been in Los Angeles. And guess what street I'm going to visit if I'm there? I visited Azusa Street. Today it's like any other street. You just drive down it, all the old buildings are gone. That was a building where God started a mighty move of God. It was so powerful that people were slain in the spirit a block away from that church. They came close to the power and they fell on their face in repentance, and a fire would shoot up from the church into the heavens, where the fire department comes, but couldn't find any fire in the church, but it was hovering over the church, and it lasted for 3 years. Here's why it lasted for 3 years. The pastor, Mr. Seymour, he would go up on stage, sit down, and put a box over his head. People couldn't see him. And whenever God spoke to him, take the box off, you're healed, you're healed, you're healed. And people would get blind eyes to see. They would get new limbs. They would get up from their wheelchairs. They would get up from their hospital beds. Yes, the power of God was moving to the point where it was, they had 800 inside and over 1,000 listening on the outside, and they had no sound system. So that guy must have had a voice like I had before I became sick. So he was preaching the gospel, telling them about Jesus. Thousands of people would come to visit from all over the world. And many denominations, the Pentecostals, the charismatic movement, and different denominations started from that little church in Azusa Street. And from what I hear and from what I know, Calvary Temple from Winnipeg comes from there. Hallelujah. It's awesome time. The power of God was moving. But after 3 years, Mr. Seymour took the box off his head. And slowly, over time, the fire and the power left. You know why? God said it was time to stop. And then, before it finished, he said, in 100 years from now, which is today, there's going to be a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which will be bigger than Azusa Street. It'll be bigger than when the disciples got into the power of the Holy Spirit. It'll cover all of the world. Mighty signs and wonders will happen. People who are bound by Satan will be set free as they walk past churches who are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. People who are into homosexuality will get free. The demon will leave. People who are into pornography will become free and will get filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, God himself will do that. Now listen to the scriptures I have. In John chapter 12, verse 14. Have you got it? Put it up there if you can find it. John chapter 12, verse 14. And it is written, and Jesus spoke it. How much did Jesus do? He healed the blind. He healed the sick. He rose people from the dead. He turned water into wine. He did many, many, many things. People were drawn to him by the thousand. He made food to appear. So here's what he says. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, The works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. So what are we going to be doing? It's coming. Jesus got us alive for this time. Be ready for this. Anticipate it. I know what it means when the power of the Holy Spirit suddenly comes upon you. You feel it a few hours before us, before it happens, and when it happens, you just don't care who's around. It's like drinking wine or whiskey. The more you drink of it, the less you care. This is as the power of the Holy Spirit works. So God is going to use these people who are into God. James had a nice message of the soon coming back of the Lord Jesus Christ, because God says he will do a short work on this earth. So it could happen quickly. Just be ready for it. And then in John chapter 1, I've heard people say, well, I don't see this in the Bible. I don't see that in the Bible. How come you do? And I've seen stuff happening which is not in the Bible. I've seen strange things happen. And you wonder. It's signs and wonders. You wonder at the sign. You see. What is God doing? He's showing you through his Spirit that he's amongst us. You see things that you've never seen before. You can't figure them out. That's okay. God is going to show you stuff that are going to take you by surprise. Now look at verse 21 in chapter 21, verse 25. Here's one for us to think about. If you got it, put it up. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, and which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose not even the world itself could contain the books that would be written. So what else is new? John says, I don't know. We couldn't write them all down. You'll get to see them. Hallelujah. You'll get to see them. We couldn't write them all down. We didn't have enough books. So what on earth is waiting for us? I know what's waiting for those who are seeking God. Excitement, joy, peace, and incredible looking for the power of the Holy Spirit starting here on this earth. And then in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, I'm going to repeat what James says. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and to remain shall be caught up with them in the clouds to meet in the air. Thus shall we ever be with the Lord. That's our eternity. That's what we got to look forward to. Have you got sickness? Have you got disease? Are you discouraged? Do you have financial problems? I got news for you. I just read it. For us, It's going to be better on ahead. But it's going to start. We can start it in ourselves now. I do rapture practice. I jump up and down every morning. Today I'm going up. I pray, God, show me something. And he usually does. I've experienced incredible things. But what God has in store for us. You know what the Apostle Paul says? It's illegal for me to tell you. You know what I mean? Think what he means by that. It's impossible for me to explain it to you. So, let your imaginations roll. We're heading for a time where we're going to enjoy ourselves to the fullest. Not for one day, not for 2 days, not for 2 months, not for 2 years, for eternity, and eternity, and eternity. And guess what? He'll give us a present. It's a new body, a body that will be able to handle the excitement and the time and all the things that God's going to have for us. So, I'm trying to get you excited. I've been excited for 45 years, and I feel it etching closer. I used to say, when somebody asked me, how is it today? I would always say, better than yesterday. What was wrong with yesterday? Oh, nothing. I enjoyed it. But it's one day closer to the coming back of my God. Hallelujah. That's what's waiting for me. Hallelujah. That's what's waiting for all of us who know this God. We got it made. Rejoice. Put it in your heart and let God feed you the things that he has for us and those that are coming. Let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing to yourself and those around you. Amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul. worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore, forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship your holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship your holy name. Oh Lord, I'll worship your.